Publishing Legends Network.
The following is intended for bizarre audiences only. Welcome to the Midnight Library.
First, a message from the disembodied spirit of our delightful sound man, Chris, who not only works for the Midnight Library, he's also written a book.
Hi there, I'm Christopher, and when I'm not adding stomach-churning sound effects to the Midnight Library, I write books to line its ornate shelves. My debut novel, called Nothing Works, Everything Happens, is a collection of science fiction short stories in which I try to understand why modern life feels so overwhelming, absurd, lonely, and sometimes, if you look hard enough, still worth the trouble. If you like thoughtful stories with a little existential dread humming in the background, you can find out more at ayasaya.com. That's A-I-Y-A-S-A-Y-A. Back to the podcast.
I see tonight's reading is to be on mermaids, madam.
That's right. Mermaids in art.
Just regular, nice, pretty mermaids.
I'm afraid so, darling. We can't be spooky, creepy, sinister, and evil all the time.
Oh, the state of the world is pitiful, isn't it, madam?
Ugh, it certainly is, Mr. Darling. How wonderful to see you. Please do file past handsome Mr. Darling at the door of the reading room there. Well, go on. He won't bite. Right now. Make yourself at home. Well, not exactly at home. You know, we do expect you to keep your glad rags on. But do find your favorite spot. There we are. Miss Suzanne, there's a comfy spot on the settee near the fireplace. You will need to coax Romulus to vacate first, though. Let me see. My lovelies, before we begin, if you haven't already fallen for it, please let me advise you. If Irma tries to tempt you into petting the goldfish she has in that bucket of seaweed she's splashing about with in the halls, don't. I'd like to warn you that it's barely a goldfish at all, but is instead some manner of wide-mouth water leaper from Peril Pond. A book on evil aquatics we have states that the wide-mouth water leaper can strip flesh from bone in 0.2 seconds. But due to time restraints, I shan't go into exactly what they do with your stripped flesh. When they snap it off. Or the bit about how they can lay eggs in your bones with their needle-like teeth when they bite so quickly. Or what happens to you after that. We simply don't have time for that.
Wow.
Welcome to the Midnight Library, my dear guests. I am your semi-aquatic MC, Miranda Merrick. And I'm so very happy you've taken the bait for tonight's reading. Now, as you may have noticed, the reading room, floor to ceiling, is 100% dry. Because the predominant element in tonight's reading, being water, is exceptionally destructive and dangerous to the condition of the books. And you must know how seriously we take the protection of our books. This is why Irma is not allowed in here while she's swinging that bucket of hers around. And while we may have in our midst damp members of the Evil Witches Yacht Club, a crusty but lovable old sea captain, and rumors of various underwater dwellers in Peril Pond, such as nymphs and naiads and dangerous grindylows, and fairy fish that grant wishes for some and rain down curses on others. None of them, without being thoroughly dry, would ever be permitted near our books. What else?
Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 blah. Yes, Ms. Nina, yes.
Blah, 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 blah.
The hospitality tray. Funny you should ask. We do have just a few aquatic appetizers, being unholy mackerel, creamed lump sucker casserole, and what I believe is, goblin shark pate. And mysteriously, the entire spread was found floating in a barrel on the veranda this morning with a soaking wet ribbon around it. So, naturally, we're feeding it all to you. But isn't that sweet? Isn't it? You guess. Right. Tonight's reading is one that we've had a plethora of petitions for. Mermaids in Art. Let's dive in. You know, of course, my lovely guest, that I am a lover of fine art. And when the subject of the paintings turns toward the sea, well, I am all in. And if you begin to offer up mythical, mystical, or folklore beings into the art, well, I will most happily drown in their beauty. Now, as I always do when we indulge in these art-themed readings, I will encourage you to make a note of the title of the painting and then to quickly look them up. And as tonight's topic is that of mermaids, my suggestion goes double bubble. Our first painting this evening is so achingly beautiful and bewitching that as you gaze at it, well, you just see, if you can't help but hear, the rolling waves, the creaking of the tilting ship, the cries of the distraught men, and the gentle voices of the singing sirens. From deep Greek mythology, Herbert James Draper has most sensually painted Ulysses and the Sirens. In short, the vivid scene shows the hero lashed to the main mast, with his working crew all around him, as deadly singing maidens assail his craft. The root of the story tells that when Thessalonike, the sister of Alexander the Great, died in 295 BCE, that she was transformed into a mermaid who haunted and ruled the Aegean Sea, forbidding the safe passage of ships. From this historical lore, Homer wrote the Odyssey, wherein the seductive singing sirens, or mermaids, mercilessly used all of their charms to attempt to lure Ulysses and his crew to their watery death. This painting, framed in a sea of navy blue waves, with the heavily timbered Greek ship with muscle-bound men heaving sturdy, long oars, plunging them into the breakers, rests at eye level for your pleasure. In realistic colors and textures, Ulysses, straining with all his might to break free, is being restrained further still by his dedicated sailors. The straining crew, with their ears stopped up with wax to prevent them from hearing the irresistible song of the approaching hazard. Gale force winds fill the enormous billowing Greek-style sail behind our mad hero, with his wild eyes glaring. The source of the tilting chaos? Three lithesome, graceful girls, with sparkling seashell circlets upon their long, damp tresses. The enchanting, young, watery women are making their way onto the swiftly tipping ship, magically transforming from fish-tailed mermaids as they clear the surface of the waves. The alabaster-skinned beauties are bare-breasted and chanting their hypnotic song. A blonde siren is already on board and clinging to a guideline, while a brunette, with trailing seaweed politely covering her now human bottom, leans over the steerboards to directly serenade Ulysses, warbling her song right at his distraught face. The most captivating of all is the red-haired mermaid, with her lilting head resting on her limber arm, draped over the broad side rail of the dipping ship, with her dainty fingers resting upon a stiff oar. She sings her alluring song, while her iridescent, lustrous tail sways upon the translucent waves. The artist, Herbert James Draper, born into a family of merchants in London in 1863, showed early artistic skill and attended Bruce Castle School, St. John's Wood Art School, and the Royal Academy Schools in the 1880s. He quickly became known for his rich depictions of mythological and neoclassical portrayals in his fine art, and was quite known for his sensuous styling of mythical creatures such as mermaids, nymphs, and sirens. His debut of Ulysses and the Sirens was met with both bold approval for its realistic high seas scene and its enticing mermaids, while others lamented the fact that the seductive sirens were not depicted as harpies or angry half-women, half-bird creatures from the classical source material. If you would like to view this soul-stirring painting in person, it hangs in the Firenze Art Gallery in Hull, England. Now, Irma, do not come in here with that bucket of funky water. No! That reminds me. I do have a quick announcement to make that's appropriately related to tonight's reading. I have a note right here that says, if you are a non-swimmer like me, I'm that way heretically, as one or two of my grandmothers are aquatically challenged, while others are ironically and alarmingly seaworthy. Let me begin again. I'm sorry. If you are a non-swimmer who would like to become water-wise, free swimming lessons are being held at Peril Pond at dusk for the next 6 nights only. Simply show up at the water's edge wearing, well, anything. Anything you like. It doesn't matter. Your instructors will be waiting just below the surface to caringly instruct you. And it says here that you needn't tell anyone of your secret plan to learn to swim because you don't want to spoil the surprise for them at their next pool party. And you certainly don't want anyone to be jealous of your new skill. There's also no sign-up sheet, because that creates evidence. Not evidence. A paper trail. It wastes paper. So, Peril Pond, the next 6 nights at dusk, and don't tell anyone. So there you go. Thank you, and you're welcome. Our next painting is from the classical Russian art movement. And oh, what a gorgeous and compelling piece it is. And it's a narrative piece, which means it has a story to tell. It is delicious food for the eyes and the mind. Sadko in the Underwater Kingdom is a nautical spell of sunken splendor. Unlike many portrayals of mermaids that show them lounging on rocks or basking in the surf, Ilya Repin's 1876 painting of them takes place completely below, in their vast submerged kingdom. Entrancingly aglow in the midst of swimming fishes overhead, and a literal deluge of glittering corals, rising bubbles, and flowering sponges. A vibrant parade of mermaid royalty marches directly at you. The first majestic mermaid with a coiled black and gold twinkly tail is bare-breasted and bejeweled with flowing auburn hair. Her head is slightly lowered as she looks to the right and tends to her necklace and golden headpiece. She is foremost in the storied succession of 300 imperial mermaids coming forth across the starfish-studded seafloor. What's the occasion, I hear you ask? Why, marital bliss in this case. You see, my lovelies, this painting was inspired by a traditional heroic ballad in which our titular hero, Sadko, is a talented but smug harpist. Sadko wages a bet and brags to wealthy merchants that he can catch golden fish, not goldfish, golden fish. He is aided by the sea czar, wins the bet, and becomes a wealthy merchant himself. He is then captured by the Caesar and forced to choose a bride from his vast school of royal mermaid daughters. In the resplendent painting, Sadko, in gallant Russian robes, stands waiting on the right as the profusion of monarch-born mermaids file past him on the left. Each supreme beauty is vividly unique and stunning, all with their bright eyes cast his way, hoping to be chosen. There's a dark-haired mer-girl wearing a rich brocade jacket with golden epaulets on her shoulders and a velvet-filled crown with gleaming pearls on her head. She even has spreading barbed fins sprouting from her back. Behind her, a striking Victorian-style woman approaches in a bright coral-colored floral gown. Her earlobes, upswept hair, and elegant neck are bedecked in gold and jewels. More shining beauties flow in a long line behind these. A crowd of princesses disappearing into the depths of the painting, each as unique and illustrious as the next, all with their eyes cast toward Sadko. Who will he choose? Which mermaid princess out of all of these ravishing ladies? Well, what you will likely notice late in your viewing of this magnificent underwater treat, once you can manage to take your eyes off the procession of exquisite mermaids, is that Sadko isn't looking at them at all. In fact, he couldn't be less interested in choosing from those in front of him. His eyes are cast upwards and over their heads to the last woman in the procession. She is a mermaid with her tail obviously beneath her plain peasant dark skirt. She wears an ordinary off-white blouse with her dull brown hair simply pulled back and her lackluster eyes peering downward in his direction. Somewhat following the ballad, Sadko longs to return to a humble life, and he chooses the last in the long line of mermaids, the plainest one of all, Shirvana. Art historians and analyzers alike have long been of the opinion that Sadko in the Underwater Kingdom is a direct reflection of its creator, Ilya Repin's life. The Russian-born artist, while living in exile in Paris, was thought to be depressed and extremely desirous of returning to his rustic home life in rural Russia. Repin was born in 1844, trained at the Imperial Academy of Arts in St. Petersburg, and later became an art history professor. His famous painting of Sadko was owned by Tsar Alexander III, and it now hangs in the State Russian Museum in St. Petersburg. For our last featured mermaid painting, my lovelies, I wanted you to have something different, amazing, more modern, more accessible. Now brace yourself. This painting, which is one of my favorites, is from a living artist. I know, right? And if you are in any way a bit of a, I was going to say art snob, but I won't. I'll say picky person. or one who is choosy about their art and the time period from which it comes, as admittedly I am. Well, you may have your doubts that any modern artist could possibly be as talented or at least capable of painting something that could capture your attention, as well as the deceased and classically trained artists can. But trust me, I will not let you down. It may be easier for you to simply search for the artist's name first, being Victor Nizotsev, spelled Nizotsev. This is because the stunning fantasy painting of his that I desperately want you to see is known confusingly by two different titles. It is called both by the single word contemplation and another word, promise. But contemplation seems to be the word most used when referring to this fantastical painting. Alone on the edge of a dark and reflective pond, this staggeringly incandescent mermaid sits, with her fishy bottom resting on a tuft of velvety mossy ground, and her shimmering sapphire blue and peacock green tail that fabulously flashes gold. This unbelievably attractive mermaid, in my opinion, may be the most alluring that you will ever see. In pure serenity, she's leaning forward with her feminine elbows braced over the bend of the knees of her tail, with her pretty chin resting on the palm of her hand that supports her exquisite head. In divine profile, her gentle eyes are closed, and her lips curl ever so slightly, conveying peace and contentedness. Her beautiful bosom rests on her shiny scaled thigh, and a flowing torrent of vibrantly bright red hair races down her back and trails out of the painting entirely. All around her in the shallow water, with its mirror-like reflection, float graceful pond lilies and bobbing, glowing lanterns in shades of lavender, turquoise, pink, and beaming warm yellow. You get the distinct feeling that if by some miracle, if you ever did have the good fortune in this lifetime to ever encounter such a sacred marvel, such as she, and you accidentally disturbed her, that she wouldn't shock and bolt beneath the surface of the limpid pool, and that she wouldn't turn in a flash into something horrid and forbidden. But it only seems that she would simply open her supernatural eyes, and that you would drop dead from witnessing the power of her beauty. I need a copy of this painting. Mr. Darling, would you make a note for me, please?
Certainly, madam.
Yes. Thank you. The artist again is Victor Nizotsev, and that's spelled Nizotsev. And he is a painter and illustrator extraordinaire. Born in 1965, trained in Russia and based in the U.S., and with an Instagram account, no less, this artist's Theatrical, jewel-toned artworks blend symbolism with universal appeal and golden age illustration traditions. Well, I'm afraid we must unfortunately resurface my love. What's that?
Blah, 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 blah.
Is that all there is?
Blah, 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 blah.
My, the intuition on some of you people is amazing. Well, I wasn't going to include this, but I do have an honorable mention here at the back of my notes. But I must caution you, this mermaid is boldly atypical and possibly not to everyone's liking. But, you know, as the village's talking cow used to say, well, hard cheese. Write this down. Renee Magritte, that's M-A-G-R-I-T-T-E, reverse mermaid. And it's exactly what you're likely envisioning. In a surrealistic turn of brilliance, Magritte painted a cold and silvery scaled fish as the top portion of his mermaid that seamlessly develops into the warm fleshy legs of a woman as the bottom half. She's peacefully lying on her side on a lackluster sandy beach. Magritte's peculiar juxtaposition is said to purposefully disrupt the typical dogmatic views of the world by making the familiar strange and unsettling, and I am here for it. Speaking of strange and unsettling, Mr. Darling and I have dinner plans this evening at the Broom and Fang pub. Perhaps we'll see you there. Good night, my dear guest. Good night.
Do we have a reverse mermaid here on the grounds, madam?
Not that I'm aware of. We do have the cousins to Jenny Greenteeth and Peg Pallor, though.
But they're not featured in any famous artworks.
No, because they are almost never seen.
Then where are they, exactly?
They're just beneath the surface, in Peril Pond.
Ah, perfect.
This message is for you, my dear guest. It's important to me that you know that you are welcome and valued here. Why? Because I know that you are a real person. And I'd like you to know that in spite of what you may hear in the village, that I am a real person too. I am not an AI-generated thing, pieced together by robbing the work of others and presented by a soulless algorithm, meant to spew a random flood of content at you that only masquerades as quality entertainment. I choose the subjects I think you'll like. I diligently research the topics, using only reputable books and sites. I alone write every single word you hear. I choose each piece of music and every eerie fun sound. I am the Midnight Library. I am the Reading Room. I am every character. I am the broom and fang pub, the fog that floats in the graveyard, and every lady gravedigger. And I am honored that you enjoy what I create. So I will ask you to support the Midnight Library, as many of my beloved friends do. Please visit patreon.com/midnightlibrary, and I'll meet you there. Thank you.